Today we begin our summer sermon series, looking at the ways some of our favorite hymns shape our minds and hearts. We are kicking things off with a hymn that has one heck of a story behind it, and its power to comfort and anchor us in the storms of life is unparalleled. I'm going to invite you to grab your hymnal along with your Bible and open it to hymn number 840, "It Is Well With My Soul." While you do that, I'm going to keep going. Before we hear from the hymn itself, we're going to hear from Paul's letter to the Philippians. Paul planted this church in the bustling city in Macedonia, a colony of the Roman Empire in what is now northeastern Greece. But Paul writes to them from prison, one of his many stints behind bars for stirring up trouble, and for a very practical reason. The church in Philippi had sent one of their own, Epaphroditus, to visit him and bring a financial gift to help keep him alive. In the ancient world, necessities like food and clothing were not necessarily provided to folks in prison, so gifts like this were a literal lifeline. Keep that in mind as we hear from chapter 4 toward the end of his letter. This is Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 13. "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned for me, but had no opportunity to show it. Not that I am referring to being in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well-fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Paul is in prison, likely waiting on a trial. He has plenty to complain about. He has plenty to be frustrated about. He could have spent 4 chapters worth of words on paper appealing to powerful people who might change his circumstances. But instead, he writes to thank this community of faith, filled with people he loves, for their gift, and to encourage them to keep going, to serve God and one another, to be unified as a community in their hearts and in their message, to keep in front of them Christ's sacrificial love. We often see that last verse used in ways that make it seem like Paul is saying, because of Jesus, I can do anything I put my mind to. But when we read that verse in its whole context, we see that Paul isn't talking about the ability to rip phone books in half, or make people change, or always find the perfect parking space. Paul is saying that whatever comes my way, I can endure it, because the love and grace of Jesus and the power of the Holy Spirit give me the strength to not just survive, but to keep doing what I am called to do. This is the same message that we find in our hymn for today. But the words of "It is well with my soul" did not come from someone sitting at a desk comfortably reflecting on the words of Paul. The words of this hymn, written by Horatio G. Spafford, were just as hard won as Paul's. Spafford was an attorney, and most of his money was tied up in real estate investments in the city of Chicago, where he lived. But in 1871, the Great Chicago Fire destroyed a big chunk of the city, including most of his investments. He lost almost everything. He poured himself into his job, working to rebuild the city and help the 100,000 plus people who were suddenly homeless. 2 years later, in 1873, he decided to take his family to Europe. He had friends who were working as evangelists there, so the plan was to attend some of their meetings in England, connect with them for mutual encouragement, and then enjoy a vacation. But just before they were meant to leave, a zoning question came up for one of his Chicago properties, and he had to take care of that before leaving. So he sent his wife, Anna, and their four daughters on one ship, and promised to follow them on another. The five of them settled into a cabin on the SS V du Havre. I am butchering the French. It was a steamship headed to England. On November 22nd, a week after setting out, the ship was sailing through thick fog, and it collided with an iron sailing ship. Both sank in the Atlantic. Horatio's wife, Anna, was rescued and brought ashore in Cardiff, Wales, where she sent her husband a two-word telegram: "Saved alone." Their four daughters were among the 226 dead after this tragedy: Annie, age 12, Maggie, age 7, Bessie, age 5, and Tanetta, age 2. Horatio immediately left on another ship to meet his wife in the UK. On a cold, blustery night in December, they passed through the same waters where that ship sank. And the captain pulled him aside and told him where they were. Horatio was deeply troubled. And he said to himself, "It is well. Let the will of God be done." These were the words. This was the moment that inspired the hymn we now have before us. This was a man who was not saying, "Everything's fine, calm down." This was a man who knew the depths of human grief and powerlessness and turned to trust in the love and grace and hope of Christ Jesus. Once we know the story, it's hard not to imagine a grieving father standing on the deck of a ship when we hear that first verse: "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." This is precisely what Paul is referring to when he says, "The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." Paul is not patting us on the head with a promise that, "Don't worry, you'll be fine." He is telling us that even when it is not fine, when we are deeply not okay, when the very foundations of our lives seem to be cracking under our feet, the love of God will not leave us. The peace of Christ, despite all logic, will offer us a refuge from the storm, an anchor to keep us from being completely swept away by the horror of it all. Horatio and Anna Spafford went on to have 3 children after this tragedy, 2 of whom survived to adulthood. And eventually, they moved to Jerusalem to start a Christian community there, focused on charity work among Muslim, Christian, and Jewish residents of the city alike. Some of their descendants still operate a hotel on the grounds of that old community today. Some hymns are written with a tune already in mind. This one, however, was not. Spafford provided the words, and a gospel songwriter and evangelist by the name of Philip Bliss wrote the music specifically for these words. And that becomes incredibly obvious when we hear that first verse. Take a look at your hymnal. The tune begins calmly, like a gently flowing river. In that second line, the words and music seem to combine to take the shape of a billowing wave. When sorrows like sea billows roll. That third line feels like taking a big breath in before you start a grand speech, building momentum and energy until we get to that great proclamation in line 4, it is well with my soul. The chorus, then, feels like solid ground beneath your feet, a gentle whisper in your ear as it repeats, it is well. The hymn, as we know it, was first published in 1876, precisely 150 years ago. And since then, the people of God across the world have turned to this song to give voice, to help us embody the ways our grief and our hope are so tightly wound together in the promises of Jesus. And no matter how it's played or sung, with the magnificence of an organ or quietly and a cappella, its power to console and strengthen us remains steadfast. So, beloved people of God, there is nothing left to do but bring all that we are and all that we have, all that we carry, that we might see and know the promises of God as we sing together the words of Horatio G. Spafford, the music of Philip Bliss, it is well with my soul. Let us rise as we're able and sing together. Thank you.